everybody in the house. An apology to certain networks. There's been a problem. We've got a lot of things. Other members are training other committees. So everybody knows that we are very few in the SOP. So we need to jump in and jump out in the meetings. So welcome the officials, the members of parliament. I think what I'm going to do, because we are late, we will introduce only, because everybody knows us, only the special delegates that are here today from the provinces, and then after that we will not introduce ourselves, because everybody knows us. I will start from the special delegate from KZN to introduce yourself. Ma'am.
Sorry, I'm monitor person in the meeting. My name is Makosi Duri, MPL from KZN. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairman and honored members. My name is Nomvula Kono from Eastern Cape Home Service Research, Chairperson of the Agriculture and Rural Development. Thank you.
Is there any other visitors from outside Parliament, not in the department? Is there any visitors that have come to listen to us today? Is there any visitors? Okay, yes. Just introduce yourself, Nancy.
It's Richard Marcus representing Rudisa with Terry Wachani.
My name is Charlie Kerr, I am from Rudisa.
Okay, our agenda today, in fact we have got three apologies, one from Ms. Magaza Makunyana and the Minister of Rural Development. Our agenda today, we are going to start with the negotiating mandate on the restitution of land rights amendment bill, B35B2013-75. I will start with the negotiation mandate from Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape?
Thanks, Chairperson. To the Chairperson, Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, National Council of Provinces, the name of the bill, Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill, the number of bill, B35B/2013, date of deliberations, 17th of March 2014, vote of the legislature. The province votes in favor of the bill, support the bill and mandate Eastern Cape delegate to the SOP to negotiate in favor of the bill. Two, the accompanying submission, which is not against the bill, was received from the Democratic Alliance for amendment of several clauses of the bill. Three, the Legal Research Center recommends that the bill be amended, in clause 1, 10, 11, 29, and 35, so that existing claims be prioritized against subsequent or later gains. Four, the Legal Research Center further recommends in clause 5 of the bill that the President be allowed to appoint judges which are recommended by both JSC and NEDEC, signed by ANPONO. I want also to apologize for not attaching those two submissions, one from DA and the second one from Liberal Resource Render, but they will be in the office at the end of the day today. Thank you very much.
If I might, morning Chair, morning everyone. If I might ask, please, could we have a report, a separate report on the public hearings, where the hearings were held, how many people, there's no such report attached at some stage, please.
Another,
Brunaga?
I will.
I'm just trying to respond to Honourable Wood's request. Is it a requirement that we do that, because we've dealt with bills before? And that was never a requirement. It has never been an issue. Why is he bringing it now? Maybe if I can advise, I can check if that is the requirement.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable. I was shocked because we are not the first time to deal with negotiating on this. But I was shocked not to about that. But if you want that information, I think that we will ask from the provinces to give. But if Yeah, but it's not our requirement. Thank you, Mr. Tape. I think we will wait for the, because according to your submission, those amendments are not against that bill. But we will wait for the information about that. Yes.
Maybe let's not take this issue lightly, because I had listened to the debate in the NA, and one of the DA members was raising the same issue to say, I don't wish the province did not have taking information. Let us check if that is a requirement. If it is not a requirement for us to consider the bills, then we should formally say that is not a requirement. And if a member is requesting such information, it can be sent to his office at a later stage.
Okay.
And I'm surprised because like you said, you were not passing the bill the first time. And Honorable Daryl West has only supported the bill that you have passed without that type of information. Why now?
Okay, Shaida, can you ask you something? This is better. It's our requirement of what
we person. If the committee has through time, if it is standard procedure in terms of the committee processing negotiating mandates and final mandates.
And listen, Honourable Mother, sorry, I'm really so sorry.
If there is a standard procedure in terms of which the committee considers negotiating mandates, and the committee has never before requested for a report on specifically the public participation element of the legislation by provinces, then it becomes a question as to why now, because in fact the committee has hit a precedent. Although be it may, if you look, I would have also asked the legal to come in, but if we look at the constitutionality, or just the constitution, and we look at it in the context of legislation and the requirements in terms of the NCLP's role in terms of facilitating public participation, it could be argued that the NCLP could request that provinces, as a matter of fact, as part of the negotiating mandate, also submit the document which states that public participation took place on this and that day, public hearings were held, and this was an engagement. However, at this point in time, because there is no precedent that has been set, I would be loath to at this time request that the committee then follow that process now very strictly. But I would ask legal to also come in and just give review on the matter.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the mandating procedure of Provinces Act, Section 5 sets out what is required in a negotiating mandate, and it says a committee designated by the provincial legislature might, in accordance with the format described in Schedule 1, confer authority on its provincial delegation to the NCLP for parameters of negotiation when the relevant NCLP select committee considers the bill after tabling it and before considering the final mandate. In terms of Schedule 1, the format, all that is required is that we address to the chairperson the name of the bill, the number of the bill, and the date of deliberation and the vote of the legislature. There's no requirement as to any further information.
Thank you. Just continue. I'm sure it's their personal interest. Thank you very much. I will ask the, is there any purpose in the Eastern case here?
KEC, while I was querying about the public hearings, this is a big interest in the bill. I presented the bill to our legislature last Thursday. By Saturday, there was an advertisement. It was going to be a whole page on the Fox News newspaper. That's why I'm interested in what issues have been put there. But I will read what is that legislature put there.
What is happening?
Listen, I presented the bill
to
our legislature in my province on the Thursday. By Saturday already, it was a whole page ad, advertisement for holding public meetings on four or five bills. And I know a lot of people went there on this land restitution book. You know, people interested in logging agricultural province, so they went there. So, you know, I'm always interested to hear how many people were there, where was the meeting held, what proposals did the people come up with.
Okay. Honorable Daryl Wolf cannot come here and tell us that he suspects, I assume that he's saying that he suspects that there will never public participation in this area because it is his responsibility as a permanent delegate to measure that he briefs the committee. Thereafter, then they brief public. He was supposed to be in those meetings. So if he's suspecting that public hearings were not held, he should be held so that we can also formally communicate to his province. And that also says that he never attended a very important meeting, which is a public participation meeting in his province. I suspect that even leave was granted for him to go attend that public hearing. So he cannot come here and say that he suspects that the meeting was not held. That was his responsibility. It has got nothing to do with us in our service.
Thank you. I think we resolved that when there is a public hearing in the provinces, all the members must participate and go to the public hearing. So it's not our fault and it's not ours to receive the negotiating from the province. That's the, I think you will discuss from your province, not to us here. Thank you.
Chairperson, I have a negotiating mandate here. It's the name of the bill, Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill. The number of the bill is B35G. 2013. Date of deliberation, the 17th of March, 2014. Inputs from the legislature. Proposal for the insertion of a subsection in the amendment of section 22.4 to allow the president to appoint also the retired judges with knowledge, experience and expertise in land matters. The Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development, as designated by the Free State Legislature, votes in favour of the bill and is signed by the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development on the 17th of March, S. Makwandana. Ms. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Department, there is an amendment here.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The proposed amendment is in relation to present clause 6 of the bill, an amendment to section 22 of the Restitution Act. Clause 6 proposes amendments to align the land claims court with practices in the normal high court. What is being proposed as an amendment to section 22 of section 4 is that a retired judge must be appointed in land matters. The president is empowered to appoint retired judges in section 84.2F of the Constitution, but that is in relation to special commissions that are set up by the president. The commission which is set up in the statute is not part of that commission, and the court, because it is like any other court, the provision relating to the retirement of judges has to apply to this court, because the reason behind the amendments that are proposed by Clause 6 is to make the land claim court to operate the same way as other high courts. So the department does not support the proposed amendment.
Chair, if I could just ask the legal department to write accordingly to the Free State Legislature on, you know, the reasons why these amendments cannot be done.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think a proposed amendment or in the bill seeks to bring the appointment of judges in accordance with the current procedure. So I'm not sure as to why a retired judge would be more qualified than the existing high court judges. There's no reason given as to necessarily why a retired judge would be appropriate. I think we want to follow the normal procedure that by which judges are appointed in terms of high court.
This is what I understand.
This is what I understand. Thank you, thanks. So, in terms of what the Constitution provides, it's not a retired judge, but the president appoints any. To take up a personal judge to do that.
So, yeah.
Okay, so, all in all, Kevin, you rejected the amendment from this stage?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, we'll go to the end, and then the department rejected the amendment from this stage. Was that from myself? I'll support the department. Okay.
Thank you, honorable members, for purposes of clarity and language ambiguity in dealing with amendments. The provinces are supposed to either accept or reject the amendments. So, like, we concur with the chair or concur with it creates a bit of a confusion. So, if provinces are in agreement with the amendment, they must just state we accept the amendment, and if they're not, we reject the amendment, please. Thank you.
Accountant, your
negotiating mandate. Thank you, Honorable Chair. To the chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of the bill, registration of Land Rights Amendment Bill, date of deliberation 14th March 2014. Before I get to the vote of the legislature, can I raise the issue of consent?
Okay.
The committee is concerned with the following issues: whether the resources at hand were equal to the task implementing the restriction of land rights amendment bill, whether there is a contingency plan in place to guard against defrauding the state, what will happen to the prospective claimants this process prior to June 1918, that the inclusion of tenants will make the processes Tamasan. The Gauteng Provincial Legislature supports the principle and the detail of the bill and therefore votes in favor of the restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill signed by Honorable Mazala, acting the President of Agricultural Development Committee, Gauteng Legislature, Provincial Legislature.
Okay, thank you, Gauteng. If I can see, I don't see any amendments, but according to their consensus, the department has already noted their consensus and then will write it to us also to the province of Gauteng. Yeah. Is there any proposal? Proposal number to Makubela?
Support.
Okay. Is there any support?
I second the proposal.
Okay, thank you very much. ASN?
To the Honorable Chairperson of the Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs,
name of bail, restriction of land rights, amendment bail, number 2, A335A, 2013, date of deliberation, Friday, 14th March 2014, Board of Legislature, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development met on the 14th, Friday, the 14th of March 2014, to consider the restriction of land rights amendment bill, 35D 2013. The following comments and amendments were proposed and considered on the bill and attached here to Annex A. The committee agreed to mandate the Bosnian National Delegation to National Council of Provinces to support the bill subject to all the proposed amendments being considered. Signed by Honorable Mchembu, Chairperson, Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development on the 14th. Of March 2014. Thank you.
Amendments that you must also read to us as the case, according to me, there are some few amendments that you must have to read from page 3. You must read the amendment E, clause 1, and page 3. That is the amendment, otherwise I'm not amendment. Clause 1, on page 3, on your judgment. Yeah.
Sir, I'm reading clause 1, amendment clause to omit 3/31 December 1998. In brackets, 30 June 2019, and to substitute 31st December 1998, in brackets, with 30 June 2015. In such, the following list after 30 June 2015, no terms will be entertained after this date, and no further window of the restriction of land change shall be opened. Set a new clause, 2, in brackets, 5, in brackets 5, a claim submitted after 31st December 1998, but before the date specified in section 2, 1, E will be considered invalid unless the claimant can show good cause as why the claim was not lodged during the window of period ending 31st December 1998.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The amendments are two amendments. The first one is that the bill proposes the reopening of lodgement of claims for a period of 5 years, and the proposed amendment seeks to reduce that period to 1 year. The department had initially proposed a period of 10 years, which was reduced during the contractation period to a period of 5 years. We require a period of 5 years because of what the legislation requires of a claimant when lodging a claim. An example is that the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights is required to assist the claimants to lodge a claim. When, for example, the claimant does not know the description of the property that they are claiming, it is then required that the Commission must go physically to the property that has been claimed, so that the exact property description can be claimed. In the claims that were lodged previously, before the cut-off date of 31st December 1998, there were instances where claimants thought that they understood the property descriptions, inserted the descriptions of those properties, and the courts have said that a claimant is only entitled to what they put in the claim form. So that is just one of an example of the extent to which the Commission must go when asking a claimant to lodge a claim. So the Department does not support that amendment as we are required to have enough time to assist the claimant. Also, one of the reasons that was given by those deserving persons who did not lodge claims was that the initial window period to lodge claims, which was 3 years, was not long enough for them to go and get information about their claims. So we propose that we keep the date as 30 June 2019. The second part of the proposal provides that there should be no further extension of lodgement of claims in the future. That is a power that is vested in Parliament. It is Parliament that will decide in the future whether to amend the final date for opening or not. So whether that provision that is proposed is contained in the Act or not is not really important. If Parliament, if the bill is enacted with this clause of saying no claims will be entertained in the future, and the new Parliament comes and it wants to change that, it will still be able to change it, whether that clause is there or not. The second part, which is relating to clause 2.5, that provides for prioritization of claims. Prioritization of claims is already provided for in the bill B35B, and prioritization is found in clause 2. Clause 2 amends section 6 of the Restitution of Land Rights Act. And it requires that the Commission shall ensure that priority is given to claims lost not later than 31 December 1998 and which were not finalized at the date of commencement of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act 2014. So we also as a department do not support that proposal as it really repeats what is already stated in clause 2 of the bill. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regard to the date, that is a policy issue for Parliament to consider. It's not really a legal issue, but the consideration must be whether that would be sufficient time for the whole process to take place and give the claimant sufficient time to lodge the claim. With respect to stating that there should be no further window period, this still serves no purpose because the future Parliament could easily just amend the section and set up a further window period. With regard to the question, the amendment that says there must be good cause shown as to why the claimant hadn't lodged a claim before 31st December 1998, that is also a policy consideration. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. I think both my colleagues covered it's more policy issues and I take to agree with what I said there. It's not necessary to amend in that case.
Because when I'm listening properly to the defendant, we've got two amendments here, that's clause one. So in other one, amend clause one to omit the first amendment. They did not support it. Two, in that clause 2.5, that is already included. So there's no way that they can have copies. So it takes it in. What are you saying?
No, ma'am. Thank you, Chair. I don't think I got to do anything except going back to the committee and report.
There's no way that you can go back. The only thing that you must do, you must say you don't accept what is said by the department or you accept it.
Papa Chair, the mandate that I was giving is the one that I read. The committee finally supported the bill, except that there are these amendments.
Okay. As the Eastern Cape, I reject the amendment 1 and also reject the clause 2 subsection 5.
After I heard the explanation of the department, the head advisor, and also the legal I support the rejection of the Kusunu Natal and that one and close five.
Thank you, Chair. I think sufficient explanation was given by the Department and Law Data Advisor, and therefore the amendment and the clause stands to be rejected, as suggested by the President. Thank you.
What do you want from me, Jay? Okay, check the minutes. I'm telling you, I'm giving my version up.
In second clause to A, it reads, thus, amend clause 4.3 by inserting the words on recommendation from a multi-party committee of parliament and approved by the National Assembly and the NOP after both instances of the word ministry.
Honorable Chairperson, Section 4.3 of the Restitution Act provides for the appointment of commissioners. It says that the commission shall consist of a chief land claims commissioner appointed by the minister after inviting nominations from the general public, a deputy land claims commissioner similarly appointed, and as many regional land claims commissioners as may be appointed by the minister. And these commissioners are then assisted by staff that are seconded to the commission in terms of the Public Service Act. The commission, in terms of the Restitution Act as it stands, is accountable to Parliament because of Section 20, which requires that the commission shall annually, not later than the first day of June, submit to Parliament a report on all its activities during the previous year up to 31 March of the previous year. The commissioners perform their functions under the policy and strategic guidance of the minister. If the commissioners are to be appointed by Parliament, then the minister will have no role to play in relation to the commissioners as the executive authority responsible for the administration of the Act. For those reasons, then, the department do not support the amendments proposed by KJ.
So, the question is correct, the provision is covered by the minister does appoint those persons. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this is a policy consideration. Should Parliament have a role in appointing the commissioners? As it stands, the minister appoints the chief and the deputy and the regional claims, regional land claims commissioners. So does Parliament want to get involved in appointing the host, all commissioners, or must
The question is it this an appropriate function for Parliament to assume? Will we be able to appoint so many people? Will we be able to know the capacity and appoint all the commissioners? So they create difficulties for Parliament. It is a policy consideration.
Thank you. As the Eastern Cape, according to the explanation, we reject this amendment clause for subsection 2.
Chairperson, after the explanation of the department, the law advisors and the state advisors, the proper reject the inclusion by the treasurer amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Often we feel that the department is appropriate to deal with opponents, therefore we reject.
Thank you, Chair. I think the explanation given by the department from the legal point of view is accepted, and therefore I reject the amendment.
Chairperson, I hear what the department say, but I must also request them to please let inform KZN legislature the reason for not accepting.
Amend clause 6.1. By inserting the words appointed through a competitive bidding process in an independent set provider registered with the independent regulatory board for auditors to be true before the work investigates.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Section 6.1.3A of the Restitution Act provides for the general functions of the commission, and in CA it is stated that one of the functions of the commission is to investigate the merits of claims that are contemplated in paragraph A. This relates to the requirement that the commission must investigate claims. The commission is set up to do the following. They are required to solicit less claims, to investigate them, and to attempt to resolve them through mediation and negotiation. If mediation and negotiation does not fail, if it fails, they refer to the Land Claim Court. If it does not fail and it is successful, the claim is referred to the minister for the purposes of settlement. So if you look at these powers, they solicit claims, they investigate, and then they attempt to resolve through mediation and negotiation. If you remove the power to investigate and give it to a third party, then the commission might as well not exist, because it will be a body without any function. So on that basis, the department does not support the proposed amendment for KZN.
Chairperson, what amendment seeks to appoint an outside contractor to do the work of the commission? And as my colleague said, that will make the function of the commission, just take away the function of the commission. So I don't know whether the amendment serves any purpose.
Now, to the department, it's a policy issue. However, from our point of view, it's a fair process put in place, and I don't, the department's very good. Thank you.
Thank you, the Eastern Cape. We reject the amendment from KZN.
Chairperson, Lipomba do not support the amendment by the KZN.
That is, in terms of the explanation given,
which says that it's a policy matter. The majority rejects the amendment. Thank you.
How to object, Chair?
Chair, I hear what the department, the legal department says, and this is a negotiated mandate, and I must just ask him please to advise cut in legislature the reason for not accepting this amendment. Thank you.
Clause 3A, amend clause 3 to include the word within 6 months of the date of. Insert new clause 3A, insert new clause 3A, 10-7, prior accepting any claim, the Commission shall ensure that the land claims process is properly communicated through national and regional media and through provincial and regional ratios.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. In as part of the requirement to solicit land claims, the Commission is going to embark on a comprehensive communication campaign. That campaign has already been developed by the Department in consultation with Government Communication and Information Service. In the explanatory memorandum that accompanies the bill, the communication implications were taken into account, and it is stated there that communication must be undertaken by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. That is part of communicating and calling on claimants to come and lodge claims, is to solicit claims. So the communication campaign is part of what is already provided for in Section 6.1 of the Restitution Act. There is no need, then, Honourable Chairperson, to insert this clause that has been proposed by KZN. The Department does not support it.
Yes, sir. Again, the department, I agree with the department's explanation. It is 5861 and you know, strategy memorandum. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether we need to legislate on asking the department to communicate the whole land process, but it's also a requirement that a claim is accepted, it has to be greater than published nationally and provincially. So I don't think there's a full requirement to legislate that they communicate the process beforehand. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. According to
again, I hear what the department say, but isn't it important that apart from an extensive communication process, that there also be any deadlines involved, that these also be conveyed to the any future claimants? Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The communication campaign informs every citizen in the country of the right to restitution that is contained in the Constitution, Section 25(7), the rights in the restitution and the procedures involved as contained in the Restitution Act, what is required for a person to lodge a claim, and what will the deadline be for any person to lodge a claim. It also sets out where to go to lodge a claim, what information that you must bring. The only matter that must be resolved is the passing of the bill. The moment the bill is passed, that communication campaign will be rolled out. Central to the campaign is an information document that we call a citizen's manual for the lodgement of claims. That is going to be provided through knocks and drops by our youth program, NARICEF, where we've got 40,400 participants. We are also engaging municipalities so that they can also assist us in the distribution of these manuals. We've also agreed and entered into in principle agreements for the distribution of the citizens manual with advice offices. There is NACAO, National Association of Community Advice Offices, which are also going to assist in the distribution of the citizen's manual, which is a pamphlet that tells you everything there is to know about restitution, including the deadline. What we cannot do at this stage is to start with the campaign, distribute it, because the law as it stands currently does not allow for reopening. Once the bill is in effect, then we will be in a position to then roll out that communication campaign.
I hear, Chair. That's a very important part of this land restitution act, but I recommend that it be also put in writing two pages again. As they say, they don't know why the various acting or amendments have been rejected.
Okay. Okay, according to the incentive, according to the explanation that the department will reject the amendment from KZN in Kompo.
That person, 12C-A, is hereby rejected by the Limpopo APTA Commission regarding the explanation by the party. Thank you.
Yes, I think the explanation given is sufficient, and therefore the Northern Cape reject the amendment.
How to reject?
The state that could just be in writing to the province, please. I accept what the department said, but then it's just put in writing.
Clause 3. Amendment Clause 3 to include the words within 6 months of the date of commencement of the eight, of this act, immediately after the work is created.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 3 amends Section 11(1) of the Restitution Act, which currently provides that if the National Land Claims Commissioner is satisfied that the claim is not excluded by the requirements for restitution, they must publish that claim in the Government Gazette. And the amendment is that they must not only just publish it, but they must make it known in media, circulating nationally, regionally, and in the district where the land is situated. Claims are published in the Government Gazette immediately after being accepted by the Regional Land Claims Commissioner. So the requirement for the insertion of 6 months, by 6 months an accepted claim is long gazette. Practically, Regional Land Claims Commissioner signs the gazette notice and literally 2 weeks later it will then appear on the government gazette. So to make a provision for a period of 6 months, that period between the acceptance of the claim and 6 months, we do not have accepted claims that have not been directed beyond that date. So for that reason, we do not support the proposed amendment of 3A.
Thank you, Chair. I accept the response from the department. It is covered by Section 11, and yeah, thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your question. It's sort of the proposed amendment is that the publication takes place within 6 months of the date of commencement of this act. This is not workable because some claims may be lodged after 6 months and there's a 5-year period, so this provision will not be workable. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I welcome Honourable Honours in the meeting. As the Eastern Cape, we have rejected the amendment from KZN. Limpopo?
Limpopo reject amendment by the President.
Northern Cape reject the Chair. Thank you.
How's the objection?
Chair, I would like to accept the 6 months amendment. I really would, but my party had a 6-year period on it, and I think 6 months is a little bit short, but so therefore I also reject this.
I prefer to abstain because I'm not informed yet in terms of the debate here.
Okay.
and have me rush for L 7A. Nucleus 14-7A, the cost associated with referring any matter to the Land Court, whether by the commission, the claimant, or the landowner, shall be borne by the state at the scale of attorney and client cost.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The current Section 29(4) of the Restitution Act provides that where a party cannot afford to pay for legal representation itself, the Chief and Claims Commissioner may take steps to arrange legal representation for such party, either through the state's legal aid system or, if necessary, at the expense of the Commission. So parties to litigation and party to litigation in restitution matters are the state, the claimants, and the current owner of the land. If those parties, either of those parties, prove that they are indigent, then the Chief Land Claim Commissioner is already required by Section 29(4) to make legal representation available at the expense of the Commission. What the proposed clause seeks to do is to extend this power to landowners. Landowners are a party to court cases. If they are indigent, they do get provided with legal representation. And there are numerous examples throughout the country where indigent current owners of land are assisted by the Commission with their legal costs. So, again, this clause is not supported. There is already, within the Restitution Act, Section 29(4), a requirement for the Chief Land Claims Commissioner to arrange legal representation for a party that cannot afford such representation. For those reasons, then, we do not support, as the Department, the proposed clause 14(7)(a). Thank you.
Yes, sir, thank you. The provision is taken for in there, and also in other provisions of our acts also, as well.
Thank you, Sir Person. It is quite an onerous provision on the state, as legal aid is already provided for people who cannot afford the service of a lawyer, and the court usually award costs against parties.
Okay, thank
you.
As
Eastern
Cape, also reserves some cases, and the
Chairperson, as the state has in Section 29(4), the proper therefore reject the Kaiser Chen proposal.
We reject the proposal.
Okay,
again, I hear what the legal department say. They say both claimants and landowners receiving state funds. They talk about indigent landowners. What about a normal farmer who is involved in this? Must he bear his own costs? I cannot support that. I agree with this amendment by KCD.
Amendment
11 to omit the 1 December 1998, 30 June 2019, and to substitute the 1 December 1998, 30 June 2015.
Honourable Chair, the proposal is to reduce the period for the lodgement of claims from 5 years to 1 year. It is similar to the proposal that was contained in Clause 1, which was not accepted by the Department. We explained why we require a period of at least 5 years, and the response in relation to Clause 11 is the same. We do not support it.
Again, this is more a policy issue, and we just agree with the department.
Thank you, sir. The date has already been rejected, so this is a consequential amendment from that.
According to the explanation, the Eastern Cape also rejects the report
Papa reject the amendment by the Jota.
Doesn't get rejected,
actually. How
does it? The explanation by the department are also rejects because I think 1 year is a bit a limited period.
Abstain,
Jota.
The 12th amendment, Law 12, on 31st December 1998, for the June 2019, and to substitute August 1st December 1998, and 30 June 2015.
Chairperson, this is also a consequential amendment reducing the period of government to 1 year. We do not support as a department.
State law advice?
My career department.
Okay, Parliament
agree with the
department. Agree. As the Eastern Cape, we reject the amendment from KZN. Limpopo?
Reject the amendment.
Northern Cape?
Reject the amendment, Chair.
Gauteng?
What do you support, Chair?
Free State?
Reject it.
Western Cape?
Abstain, Chair.
No, it's not. One other remark. Would you hear what your support or reject?
Reject?
Oh, okay. Clause 14, KZF.
Insert a new clause 14, amendment of section 42, section 2 of 1994. 14, section 42, E of the Bush Park Act. Is hereby amended by the inclusion of subsection 5 and 6. 5, no provision of this act shall give rise any power on the part of the state to take into custodianship and land upon which a claim has been made. 6, where productive agricultural land in the subject of land claims, Mantica 1, And within 6 months of the claim being gazetted, the landowner is willing to sell the land. Restitution of an appropriate right in question should be transferred to the claimant only if a business plan approved by the department and adequate funds, equipment, and other resources for ensuring the continued productivity of the land are provided by the department and or the claimant or the landowner. Roman statute, the landowner is unwilling to sell the land, the decision shall be made. Eight, by transferring to the claimant or claimant as appropriate right in state-owned land or such land as the state may acquire or be through financial compensation for the claim payment for claim.
Department?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Again, there are two proposals that are contained in this clause. The first is that of the special section 42E of the Restitution Act gives the minister power to acquire land through agreement, and if there is no agreement, by expropriation. Is also empowered to receive land that is donated to the state, all of this for the purposes of settling land claim. The first proposal of the insertion of a new clause, a new subsection 5, is not accepted by the department. It provides that when the minister acquires land, that land must not go to the state. Current section 41A of the Restitution Act, which it is not proposed but must be amended by any of the proposals from KZN, 42A says that where in terms of the Restitution Act, land acquired or expropriated in order to restore or award the land to a claimant, such land vests in the state which must transfer it to the claimant. So section 42E does not empower minister to acquire land and then keep it in the name of the state. If it happens that it is kept in the name of the state, it is there in transit on its way to a payment, because no claimant lodges a claim only for the land to be acquired and be given to the state. So we do not accept the proposed clause 5. The proposed clause 6 says that when the claimed land is agricultural land, the claimant must be required to produce a business plan. If the claimant cannot produce that business plan, then the claimant must be given alternative land or financial compensation. This is a right to restitution. Restitution, in simple form, is give me what is mine. So what the communities do with the land cannot be the reason why they cannot get the land. Yes, there is a requirement, and the department does support all beneficiaries of land reform programs that have received land through capitalization and development. But the requirement for a business plan and funding cannot be a requirement that is placed before claimants are entitled to receive their land. So both subsection 5 and 6, which are proposed to be inserted, are not accepted by the department.
Thank you, Chair. The civil advisors agree with the department. We also agree that it's more the support that are from the department than a policy issue. So we don't deem it necessary to legislate in this manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Both issues are policy consideration, but in deciding, the committee must consider whether it wants to impose conditions on people who have a claim in land and have been awarded this land. Now they must want to introduce a business plan, whether we want to make a further requirement for people who have this claim already awarded to them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. According to the explanation, as the Eastern Cape will also reject this subsection 5 and 6. And Limpopo?
Subsection 5 and 6 is there by the territory by Limpopo after considering the explanation of the department and the federal advisors in the parliament. Thank you.
Hey, since the KZN was writing its own parallel law, so who is that everything?
I think the reason why they did it is because of their land is owned by chief, no? Yeah, so I think that's the reason why. So I'm worried that why is the special delegate not motivating for it? She might get into big trouble when she gets back home. So I think also as the result, you must also consider that. How can I check?
Okay, thank you. Here the department, certain parts of 6, I like very much that the Department of Rural Development, Agriculture must give support to emerging farmers and to ensure food security. They talk about continued productivity and a business plan. I think that's wonderful. And it also says under Section 6.2, through financial compensation to the claimants, as we know, a lot of the previous land claims, the third people have no intention of farming and they'd rather take the money. So I support certainly Section 6 of this proposed amendment.
Five,
I also accept.
Oh, okay. Honour?
Chair. Clause 5 and 6, I will do it in favour of the
check. Okay, thank you. Can you then want to say something?
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, especially on 6. In terms of the chairman, some are just claiming the land. And you find that land was productive. But immediately after being gained, you find that land is no longer productive. Now we were looking at the issue of food security, the issue of job creation, because immediately the land loses that production. There will be no body who is going to be working on the land.
Whereas previously there were people who were employed to work on that farm. Although I can't mention all, but six came along those lines. Right now, if you go to KZN, and there are a lot of land that is lying, which was productive before, and the land that is no longer productive.
Okay, thank you, KZN. I think what we are going to do, all the explanation by the department will write to you, also to us, the explanation. Again, clause 15.
Section 15, insertion of section 42G in Act 22 of 1994. 15, the following section is hereby inserted after section 43E of the Principal Act. Financial arrangements 42F, no provision of this Act shall be of any force of effect unless A, budget has been allocated to the department in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework which is sufficient to settle all claims arising from the act within 6 years of the date referred to in S21E.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The reopening of lodgement of claims is a policy of government, a policy that was adopted by cabinet. And cabinet includes the minister responsible for funding, for finance. Like all other programs of government, this reopened restitution is funded from the FISAS. There is no requirement that there must be a provision that is going to limit the right to restitution for it to be subjected to the availability of funds. We have looked at what the court has to say about the realization of the rights, the Bill of Rights, and in the Schoepboom case, Constitutional Court said that the rights contained in the Bill of Rights will be dealt with in a progressive manner, but within the resources that are available to the state. And one of the rights that is contained in the Bill of Rights is this right to restitution. So the proposed section 42F will then limit that right to restitution by subjecting it to the state being able to afford giving restitution to the payment. The second part is that as we sit here, no one knows for sure how many claims are going to be lodged, where these claims are going to be, so requiring the National Treasury to make funds available before the bill is enacted, before the claims are lodged, and everyone understands what is the magnitude of this issue that is being dealt with. It cannot be correct that already we are saying that before you can even lodge your claim, there must be money available to make good on your claim when no one knows what your claim is all about. So the department does not accept the proposal that is made in 42F.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Don't really legislate these provisions, that's number one. Secondly, if you look at the memorandum, once again, those provisions have been paid for. There's been also buying from the executive cabinet, again, in relation to policy and, you don't legislate this manner. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Question, in my opinion, this provision is very unworkable. Firstly, to prescribe that there must be a budget before we know how many claims. Secondly, it's part of Parliament's oversight responsibility to ensure that every year that the department is held accountable to the funds allocated to land restitution. And also to say that no provision of this act shall come into effect until there's sufficient funds to settle all claims will just make the whole act in abeyance until the budget is allocated. Thank you, Chair.
Northern Cape will accept the amendment, Chair.
Hold on the question, Chair.
Chair, we know there's going to be a flood of claims. I agree, we don't know exactly how many. But at the present rate of funding, it's going to take years. I don't know how many years. Just to even address the claims that have already been lodged that haven't been dealt with. Let alone helping emerging farmers. The budget will have to be increased, let alone the administrative part of handling the budget. So I agree with this. There should be, there must be a considerable increase in funds allocated. Thanks, Jim.
Chairperson, the Western have also agreed on this clause, stock scheme, that the provision funding should be considered first prior the claiming starts. So we would like to support the clause 15 of Christ.
What are you support or you reject? You didn't record. Yes, sorry.
I support the clause.
Okay, thank you. All right. So, I think now we must go straight to Limpopo.
Chairperson,
the negotiating mandate
of the Restitution Land Rights Amendment Bill. That is the name of the bill, and the number of the bill is B85B 2012, date of deliberation 17 March 2014, vote of legislature, provincial SOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the
I'm sorry, the typing error. You must say B85B 2013, not 2012. Yeah, they phoned us to say they made they invited you, so you must remember what they said, but they got a letter from...
Before we rejected, we rejected a final limit recall. I think it was in the Western Cape, because they made an error. It was also 2012 to 2013. So how can we accept the one and not the other one?
If you can look at Limpopo legislation in the introduction, you can check if they made an error. And they also form the committee of class and also inform me also. Carry on.
Thanks, Chair President. I think it is better for the record if it's to repeat. The Chairperson of the Select Committee, Land and Environmental Affairs. Name of the bill, Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill. Number of the bill, B35B 2013. Date of deliberation, 17 March 2014. Vote of the legislature, provincial SOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the comments and suggestions made on the report.
There are no amendments. Is there any proposal? Honorable Mukoro, is there any seconder? Honorable Mali. Thank you very much, Limpopo. Is there anyone from Mpumalanga? So I will read it by myself. The negotiating mandate from Mpumalanga, the name of the bill is the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill. Number of the bill is 35B 2013, date of the deliberation for this March 2014. Board of the Legislature, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Administration, Economic Development, Environment and Tourism. The committee supports the objects of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill 35B 2013. There are no proposed amendments. The committee confers all the permanent delegate to representing the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces and mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill, signed by the Chairperson of Portfolio Committee, Honorable R.C. Masobofane, MPL,
date 14th March 2014. Is there any proposal? Mm-hmm. Honorable Mare, second Honorable O'Neill. Thank you very much. The Northern Cape, your submission. Can you read your negotiating mandate? Northwest, the negotiating mandate from the Northwest. Name of the bill, restitution of land rights amendment bill. Number of bill, B35B2013. Date of deliberation, 13th March 2014. Vote of the legislature. The provincial legislature concurs with the amendments of the restitution of land rights amendment bill. The bill should ensure fulfilled its legal mandate to protect, support and build the capacity of traditional leadership. The bill should open same for a period of 10 years until June 2024. The bill should allow restitution of land of communities that will dispose of their land through the land transfer through trust. Is there any amendment? There is no amendment. It is signed by Honorable P. Pelele, Chairperson of Chair of Health of Northwest. Is there any proposal? Honorable Makubela, is there a seconder? Honorable Mali. What's up?
Thank you, Chairperson. The name of the bill is the restriction of rent. Land Rights Amendment Bill, the number of bills, B35B2013. The date of deliberation was on 17th of March 2014. The vote of the legislature, the Senior Committee on Agricultural and Environmental Training, based on the positive concerns on the Western Cape Climate Delegate in the NCOP, the authority to support the bill and with the attached amendments. At the back of the I think we should have summarized the amendment in form of a report, etc.
There are proposals that are contained, but it is not very clear from the document which specific sections are being amended.
Yes, your question. I also don't know if any amendment is a report on what the discussions were.
Since it's not related in amendment, proposed amendment format, there is actually nothing which committee can do in terms of considering it substantively, Chairperson. So I agree with the parliamentary legal advisor that you should not be, there shouldn't be in a voting because it's not substantive amendments that are tabulated in a tabulated format for the committee to consider.
No, sir, I agree. If the committee consider noting it, I'm fine with it because it's a summary. Still, I need the department to consider what the going ahead is alluded to.
Thank you. I think we will, the department will take note, also as the committee will take note because it's in summary. I wanted the proposal and the second. Is there any proposal? Honorable Makubela, the second Honorable Mkhoro. Thank you very much. We are done with the negotiating mandate of the first bill. And now we're going to the negotiating mandate of the National Environmental Management Law, Third Amendment, Bill
B23,
Okay. I'll start the distant tape, the negotiating mandate. National Environmental Management Law, Third Amendment Bill, number of the bill, B36D2018, date of deliberation, 17th March 2014, vote of the legislature. The province votes in favor of the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape delegates to the NSOP to negotiate in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable S. Pagati, the Chairperson of Portfolio Committee on the 17th March 2014. Is there any proposal? Honorable Makubela, is there any seconder? Honorable Made. All the three of you, we don't have any. We don't have it. Okay, just. Can you read it for us?
The free site?
Yes.
Yes, certainly. It is the national, it's to the chairperson of the Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs.
Don't rush, newspapers, don't talk.
National Environmental Management Laws, Third Amendment Bill, number of Bill B26B 2013. Date of deliberation, 17th of March 2014. The vote of the legislature, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism, as designated by the Free State Legislature, votes in favour of the bill without any amendments. Signed, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism, M. Itu Abala, and that was on the 17th of March 2014.
Thank you. Is there any support?
I support. I need proper support.
Honorable Makubela, is there any seconder? Honorable Houghton, do you have it? What happened with this? I mean, Houghton? Can you give it? Can you give it to Houghton? Can you give it? Okay, give it to
the employer for the chair.
No problem.
Negotiating mandate to the chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs. Name of the bill, National Environmental Law Third Amendment Bill. Number of date of deliberation, 14th March 2014, vote of the legislature. The Gauteng provincial legislature supports the principle and the repeal of the bill and therefore votes in favor of National Environmental Law Set Amendment Bill signed by Honorable Mazala, a chairperson of Agriculture and Rural Development Committee, Gauteng Provincial Legislature. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there any supporter? Is there a proposal supporter?
To Honorable Chairperson of the Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of Bill, National Environmental Management Law Strike Amendment B, number of Bill B26B 2013, date of deliberation, Friday 14th March 2014, vote of the legislation, the Portfolio Committee on Conservation and Environmental Affairs, met on the 14th Friday, March 2014, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to support the National Environmental Management Law Third Amendment Bill B26B 2013, signed by Honorable Singh, Chairperson of the Committee on Conservation and Environmental Affairs, on the 14th of March 2014. Thank you.
Thank you, KZN. Is there any proposal?
With both
hands. Thank you. And surrender? Honorable Mkoro. Limpompo?
The Chairperson, Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of the bill, National Environmental Management Law Act Amendment Bill, number of the bill B26B 2013, date of deliberation, 17 March 2014, vote of the legislature. The committee, having gone through the bill, recommend to the NCOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill, taking into consideration of the amendment initiated on the report attached. Signed by Chairperson Dr. H. Mutimi, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable. There are no concrete amendments to such a report, but I think the department will take note and also respond in writing to Limpompo about that and also forward to the committee. Is there any proposal? Honorable Mabe and Honorable Mkoro. Mpumalanga, the negotiation mandate. The name of the bill, the Natural Environmental Management Law Third Amendment Bill, number of the bill, B26B 2013, date of deliberation, vote of the 14th March 2014, vote of the legislature. The Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Administration, Economic Development, Environment and Tourism. The committee supports the sub-object of the National Environmental Management Law Third Amendment B26B 2013. There are no proposed amendments. The committee concurs on the permanent delegates representing the province of Mpumalanga in the Natal Council of Provinces. The mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill signed by Honorable Asuma Kromofane, MPL, date 14th March 2014, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Is there any proposal? Honorable Mkoro, is there a seconder? Honorable Makube. Thank you very much. Northern Cape.
Name of the bill, National Environmental Management Law State Amendment Bill. Name of the bill, B26B 2013, date of deliberation, 13th March 2014, book of the legislature. The legislature vote in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Is there any proposal? Mr. Ganda? I want to support the bill. Any supporter? Honorable Mad. Northwest. The negotiating mandate for the Northwest, the name of the bill, National Environmental Management Law Third Amendment Bill. Number of the bill,
Date versus speed 2013, date of deliberation, 1st March 2014, vote of the legislature. The provincial legislature concurs with the amendments of the National Environmental Management, 3rd Amendment Bill. The bill will be incorporating the roles of the Department of Mineral and Resources and Environmental Affairs. This will give the department more power to hold mining companies accountable for environment damage, for environmental damage, pollution and degradation. The North Province votes in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable Makomele Moti, the chairperson of the committee, date 17th March 2014. Is there any proposal? Honorable Makuga and Honorable Mabe. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you, Section. The National Environment Management Law, Third Amendment Bill, the number of the bill is B26B2013, date of deliberation the 17th of March 2014. The vote of the legislation, the Standing Committee of Agricultural and Environment Planning reports that it confers on the Western Cape Planning Region, the NCOP, the authority to support the bill with the attached amendments.
Let's go to the amendment of the Western Cape.
Senate.
Number one, can you read procedure by the Competent Authority Section 24C2A, set for them?
Thank you, Section. There is three amendments. The one on the procedure for identifying competent authority, Section 24C2A. Section 24C2A, the minister responsible for mineral resource must be identified as a competent authority in terms of subsection 1, where the list or specific activity is directly related to. Prospecting or exploration of a mineral or petroleum resource or extraction and primary processing of minerals or petroleum resource. Should this amendment be accepted, all related provisions must be amended in accordingly throughout the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, obviously we don't agree with this amendment for various reasons. This brought together with the National Environmental Management Act 2008, the NPRDA 2008 Act, the National Water Amendment Bill, and the Mineral and Resources Development Amendment Bill 2013 actually reflect the cooperative governance agreement that was reached between the ministers in terms of Chapter 3 of the Constitution. Chair, this policy position was informed by the expertise from the various departments as well as the capacity in the respective departments. And also a need, Chair, to ensure that all the environmental aspects will be regulated and governed by national environmental legislation. And this policy position was accepted by Cabinet as well.
I also agree with the department that this is part of the 2008 agreement, and if this proposed amendment is accepted, it will go against the 2008 agreement and also will have an effect on other relevant legislation because all these bills read the same, and the Minister of Mineral Resources is committed authority in terms of this listed provision.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also support my colleagues because the core of the bill is also in respect of the agreement my colleagues will respect to. Thank you.
Second floor, Chair. Section 24028.
I want to in the same. No, in that section, here was the department said they rejected the amendment. Do we have anything to say?
It's not there, Chairperson, because the explanation is in the section here, and if the department rejects, you can just note it at the edge.
Okay. According to the Eastern Cape, we compare with it, the department will reject the amendment from the Western Cape.
After a very exposition of the department, and we will reject the amendment.
Madam, can you reject the amendment?
How can you reject the amendment?
on Australia, the department is there to please write to the Western Cape to let them know, but otherwise I must accept the Western Cape. I accept it.
Second one, Chairperson, the criteria to be taken to into account by competent authorities when considering applications. Section 24.0. When matters relate to prospecting, exploration, mining or production, the request for comment contemplated in subsection 2 must be submitted by registered mail to the Director General or Provincial Head of the Department or State Department, contemplated in subsection 2, and by any of the delivery options provided in terms of section 47D, if so requested by State Department. The State Department consulted in terms of subsection 2 must submit comments within 30 days from the day on which the Minister responsible for mineral resource or energy or environmental assessment practitioner request such State Department in writing to submit comments. The second one,
thank you, Chair. Chair, the Department doesn't agree with this amendment either, Chair. The purpose of this amendment essentially is to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of decision-making in relation to environmental authorizations. Part of the reason why we put this in is to ensure that we don't undermine the process. The process is very, very dependent on time frames. And essentially, it's a practical implementation issue that the proposed amendment aims to cure. The other thing is that the amendment intends to avoid the space for excuses that communications are not received in instances where time frames are not met. And the result of this amendment is to ensure that there is proof that communication, in fact, reached the respective heads of department that are required to comment in these instances so that an environmental authorization decision can, in fact, be made. Chair, the second part of this response relates to the 30-day time frame. One of the major complaints was the ineffectiveness and inefficiency of the system. And consequently, in the cooperative governance agreement, that I referred to earlier, it is agreed that government departments need to tighten their response times and that the overall time frames must be reduced in order to bring it in line with the time frames that were agreed in relation to how long an authorization process should in fact take. Hence, the department is also not in favor of the 40-day period and would support the 30-day period that has been included in the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I also agree with the department's rejection of the proposed amendment because if we know that the gist of the agreement is to streamline processes, therefore this is an exception to the general rule that is provided for in 47D of NEMLA. So therefore, it will be a contradiction in terms if the registered mail is put there and then again open up other processes. Then it will cause the delays we're trying to avoid in the drafting of the bill.
I also agree with my colleagues, but I want to add as well in respect of the reason for the rejection of the first proposal on the two. Is the fact that if, for example, implementation, if, for example, you look, you say, if the State Department request for an example effect or another way of communication, who's going to check that? So in respect of the implementation, it's going to complicate processes. So I think I support the department. And secondly, the second one, in respect of 30 days and 40 days, the policy issue, but the most important thing is we're looking into practically, is it implementable, and also we're looking into fast-tracking the processes. So if we add more days, how is that going to affect the process? Thank you.
Honourable Honours, do you hear what the department says? And the state law advisor and the parliament.
So after explanation of the department of state law, I think I'll reconsider and go with them in terms of how they explain. Because if they talk about efficiency and fast-tracking process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The third one, the person is on appeals, section 43, 7. The two options, the first option, the person is an appeal under the section does not suspend an environmental authorization or exceptions directive or any other decision in terms of this act or any other specific environmental management act or any other provision or condition such hereto unless the minister or MC direct otherwise. The second option chairperson is an appeal under this section suspend an environmental authorization or exception directive or any other decision in terms of the act may or other specific environmental management act and any other provision or condition attached hereto unless the minister of energy directs otherwise. The third one.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the department doesn't agree with either option one or two, and once again, Chair, it's related to the shortened time frames and the effectiveness of the process that's been outlined in terms of this bill. Chair, it's our view that there's no good reason why a decision should not be suspended until the final appeal decision is finalized. There is the 90-day period that's been agreed to, and that's the stipulated period for finalizing the appeal process. The difficulty is in practice that once construction commences, usually the environmental damage is done. And if an appeal is upheld, it's almost impossible in some instances to actually reverse the environmental damage that's been done. Chair, the department also doesn't support the proposed amendment that seeks to exclude any decision made in terms of this act or any other specific environmental act. And the reason for this rejection is that the section deals with appeals in relation to decisions not only in terms of the NEMA, but also the specific environmental management acts. And therefore, the second option would exclude that, and we don't want to do that. We want an option to deal with appeals in terms of NEMA as well as specific Environmental Management Act.
Say to others, condition, we also support the fact that department doesn't as well support the amendment because practically once there's an appeal, politically that appeal suspends whatever activity there until the outcome of the appeal. Therefore, the proposed amendment will not be practical. It will create practical challenges because once the activity commences while there's a pending appeal, there won't be a point to that appeal. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, I also want to agree with my colleagues because if, for an example, we don't suspend the other processes, that will be illegal, so to speak. So I agree with them.
Question, Kate?
Okay. Chair, we noted the department, but we still stand on the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, this was vote on that now. As the Eastern Cape, we concur with the department of the Justice Amendment.
The Chairperson, to follow the spirit of the law, we reject the amendment of the Western Cape. Thank you.
We support the... We reject the amendment. Sorry.
See, whilst my party supports this bill, I've got different reasons as opposed to the wedding tax, like changing from 40 days to 30 days or whatever, 10 days. But I'm a support Western Cape, honestly, because it's subject to those amendments.
Out.
Honourable members, there are so many who are going to number 3 in our agenda. The negotiating mandate on the National Environmental Management List, Management Bill 32B, 2013, Section 76. I will start with my province, Eastern Cape. The name of the bill, National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill. Number of the bill, B32B 2013, date of deliberation, 17th March 2014. Both of the legislature, the province votes in favor of the bill and mandate Eastern Cape delegates to the NSOP to negotiate in favor of the bill signed by the chair of the committee, Honorable F. Pagachi. Date 17th March 2014. Is there any proposal? Honorable Makubela is seconded by Honorable Mkhoro. Free State. Oh, you don't have it to add, yeah?
Oh. Okay. I'm going to read to you 9 of the bill, National Environmental Management Waste Management Amendment Law. Number of bill B32B 2013, date of deliberation 17th of March 2014. Put to the legislature. The Portfolio Committee on Public Works and Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism is designated by the Free State Legislature. Vote in favor of the bill with the following amendments. Firstly, number 1. The dumping site should be outside the residential area. Secondly, the proposed insertion of Part 7A in Act 59 of 2008 provides for the establishment of Waste Management Bureau, WMB. There is much merit in the concept as it provides a specialized organization to what the scope of the WMB will be. For example, to what extent will it directly control the operations of waste management plants? It is proposed that it will not have board, not have a board, only a CEO reporting to the DG, Director General, which concentrates a very wide scope of policy and decision-making in one person. The lack of clarity on the limits of authority of the Bureau and the apparent absence of accountability in the envisaged structure creates a level of uncertainty that would seriously discourage the very large-scale investment needed by any organization setting up to establish the kind of infrastructure required to manage a comprehensive WTMP. Thirdly, proposal for the retention of the board as CEO will lack independence when appointed and reporting to the DG. Fourthly, the public support the bill. And that is signed by M.E. Tuabala, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism, Free State Legislature on the 17th of March 2014. Thank you, Chair.
Department, is there any concrete amendments or will
you take note of that? Chair, I don't see any amendments proposed. We can just take note and we note the comments, Chair. Yes, we will respond in writing, Chair.
Free State supporters are supporting my own opinions here, but providing the department let them know what it is.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. To the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of the bill, National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill, date of deliberation, 14th March 2014. Chair, the committee did not have any concerns with the bill. Instead, the committee supported the bill and indicated that it was long overdue. Both of the legislature, the Gauteng Provincial Legislature, supports the principle and the detail of the bill and therefore votes in favor of National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill signed by Honorable M. Madlala, Acting Chairperson of Agriculture and Rural Development Committee, Gauteng Provincial Legislature.
Is there any supporters?
Honourable Mkhoro and supported by Honourable Makhubela.
Thank you. KZN?
Thank you, sir. I'm negotiating mandate on
Honorable Chairperson, the Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of Bill National Environmental Management Waste Amendment B, number of B32B2013, date of deliberation Friday, 14th March 2014, Board of Legislation, Portfolio Committee on Conservation and Environmental Affairs, met on Friday, the 14th of March 2014, to consider the National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill, B32-2013, the following comments and amendments were proposed and considered on the bill and are charged here to Vanessa A. The committee agreed to mandate the Council of National Delegation to National Council of Provinces to support bill, provided that the proposed amendments and comments are considered and consolidated in the bill signed by AFIN, Chairperson of Portfolio Committee on Conservation and Environmental Affairs, on the 14th of March 2014. Thank you. Yes, Chairperson. The proposed amendments are as follows. 1A, the proposed section 13BC in the bill, which envisages the passing of an act in accordance with section 77 of the Constitution of South Africa, 1996, is viewed as unconstitutional and must be deleted. B, it is...
Chair, we'll get Mr. Wells to respond. Got our entire team here, so Mr. Wells will respond on this call.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The issue at hand here is a set of comments that's emerged from the Portfolio Committee public hearing process. And in essence, the issue being addressed here is that there is a feeling that the current arrangement where industry waste management plans apply charges to other industry actors or other companies in the industry is creating huge governance problems, especially in the context as is outlined in B below, where some groupings of the industry are wanting to get their own plans approved and charge their own levies. There was also comments raised from the NGO community that questioned whether or not one private sector organization should be levying charges on another. And there was comments around the question of what guides the formulation, what public strategy, well consulted, well thought through, guides the formulation of charges. Or is these private sector organizations just dreaming up their own charges that they're going to levy on companies in the industry on the waste? So these were a set of questions that 13 B and A and B were put together to address. In essence, there's a process where the minister consults nationally in the formulation of a pricing strategy, and all charges that emerge from that pricing strategy would then go through a Section 77 bill and through Parliament, so that we don't have one private sector organisation levying taxes or charges on other organisations and being subject to legal scrutiny. So this is the policy shift that the minister has brought to bear. So in the context, we would oppose, not agree to the proposed amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. We also support the development in this regard because in terms of setting capital B, the pricing strategy referred to is not only limited to the issues listed in A, B, C, and D, where things may be charged in terms of the money bill. Therefore, it would be appropriate to have a separate money bill in the circumstances. These issues cannot be contained in the waste bill. It will be unconstitutional.
Chairperson,
Thank you, Chairperson. I support my colleagues because the provision fits in respect of the provision 77, which is a money bill. So it would be rather unconstitutional if it's not made a money bill. Thank you.
As the Eastern Cape also rejected Amendment A from KZN. Sibombo?
Reject Amendment Provision A. We reject Amendment A.
How can you check?
Yes, I hear what they say. I reject as well.
I reject it.
B, it is suggested that the purposive interpretation of Section 27, a money bill is not required, and the proposal supports the submission with the Northern Territory High Court judgment. Retail Motor Industry Organization and another Minister of Environmental Affairs and another handed down on November 2012, where Trojan J held that the Waste Act made sufficient provisions for the funding mechanism of WPMP and that a money bill was not required.
This was part and parcel of the same issue as A in the explanation. But I'd like the Honourable Committee to note that this court case that has been quoted here is only for one industry race stream. And the intent of the pricing strategy and the money bill would be for all identified race streams. It's not just one race stream. The wage bill amendment is to cover all, not just one. Thank you.
Thank you. I also agree with the person that the comments that you made for A are the same as the one that are for B. Thank you, Chairperson.
Eastern Cape also rejected that fee of the proposed amendment from KZN.
We rejected the amendment of KwaZulu-Natal. We rejected the amendment. Thank you.
Open rejection.
In view of the department, we rejected as well because the one's kind of connected to the other one. One A and B is what parcel is. So reject the one of origin.
Okay.
I wasn't getting the
message. Okay. Can I read 2?
Thank you, Sam. 2 is submitted that there will be lack of oversight on the proposed waste management bureau. In those 13, the bureau will be headed by a chief executive officer who will be reporting to the director general. The bureau will not be headed by a board, and as such, it will not be having an independent control and oversight. It is therefore proposed that the bureau must be independent and be headed by a board.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I see there's no proposed amendments here, and you can write it in detailed response, but just in summary, the intent of the Waste Management Bureau is to be able to mobilize and appoint the experts. The problem that we have in this sector is that the experts in the country are few, and the idea is for the department to be able to do compete with the marketplace and get the relevant expertise. This is a specialist organization, and there were concerns raised in the portfolio committee process that we should not be creating new public entities, to replace the work that is supposed to be done by the department. But the problem that has to be addressed is how does one get the relevant expertise? specialists. How does one attract those for employment? But we will write, there's no proposed amendment, we will write in response to the KCD.
Next slide, please.
And we shall also have a way the department in this regard, because this is a unit within the department, it's a specialized unit, and the oversight that is what they are applicable, the same oversight that is applicable to the department, and the same reporting mechanism. So we don't agree that there will be a lack of oversight. It's not one of the bureaus where you will need a board, an independent board, and all of that stuff. So it is appropriate for the chief executive officer to report to the DG in light of the set up the bureau. Thank you.
Parliament?
President, thank you. I also agree with my colleagues, and this is a different setup. It's not the same as the other agents. We're sort of, I know the word agent is not the relevant word. We're running away from creating an agent, or the deal is they start running away from creating an agent. And out of the public hearing, there are a lot of views in respect of not creating a board, because a board will be doing its own thing and being paid lots of money. So I also support what my colleagues are saying.
Chair, I think we will respond in writing, but I think also if you look at the bill, section 34, B and C, we have actually referred to the minister and the minister setting the policy direction. I think the issue there is that the minister must, after consultation with the determine and publish a policy within which the bureau must exercise its powers and perform its functions. And if you go further, there's minister's supervisory powers, so it's actually not correct to say that the CEO and the DG will be determining that. So it's just to clarify that the minister will set a policy framework within which this bureau will actually function. And there is an oversight role for the minister, so it won't be the CEO and the DG that will have those exclusive powers. So I don't think that's correct as well. Just something for the committee to note when they make a decision. Thanks.
Okay, as the Eastern Cape, we rejected this amendment from the Pompo.
I checked the rejected amendment by the West Bazunata.
Okay.
Not okay, we got the amendment.
Okay. Okay, States.
Okay, rejected.
Eastern Cape. Thank you very much. We are going to Limpopo for the negotiation.
Thank you, Chairperson. negotiating mandate to the Chairperson, Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, name of the bill, National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill, number of the bill, B32B2013, date of deliberation, 17 March 2014, vote of the legislature. The committee, having gone through the bill, recommend the NCOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the amendment as stated in the attached report. Signed by Honorable Dr. Mutimi, Committee Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Makubela. I don't see any amendments. Number four, the permanent. Oh, yes. Sorry. Page two, number four.
Page 2, number 4.
Excuse me, Chair.
One.
Chair, excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have copy, so it's a bit difficult for us to respond.
Recommended amendments is amendment of section 12, Act of 2008, clause 4, Roman figure 1, subsection P2, municipality must be added after provincial department.
This is another one, okay, department. Why did you?
Apologies, Chair, just looking for the proposed amendments. We just got a document now. Yeah.
Honorable Chairperson, if I can respond. I think the issue here is the matter of the approval of industry waste management plans. In terms of section 28 and 29 of the Act, industry waste management plans can only be approved by an AVC or a national minister. The issue of municipalities is really in the context of what we call integrated waste management plans, and the approval of that is through the IDP system within the province, where the AVC is responsible for local government then exercises is right in terms of the approval of the specific in this integrated waste management plan from a municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Since that is a pressure related matter, I will let the department handle it.
I agree with the department, Chairperson. Thank you.
So, Chairperson, we reject that proposed amendment.
I'm going to answer like a state advisor. Which is a sense of policy to show that it's a provisional issue. If they note this thing, then they note. They're not here.
The Eastern Cape will reject the amendment from Limpopo.
Gauteng. Gauteng reject.
Reject.
Reject. Number two.
Number two, Chair, is a traditional provision in respect of any existing industrial waste management. Plan clause 17, Roman figure 2, subsection 7, the 60 calendar days should be substituted by 6 calendar months.
Department.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can respond, the provision relates specifically for the regularizing of existing plans. In that context, we give a period of more than 6 months for that to happen. The specific issue around the 60 days is for the initial amendment to be sent to the department. Once that's done, there's a toing and froing process in terms of the amendment and alignment of the plan, which will take a period of almost more than 6 months. And in this context, what happens then is that the pricing strategy has to be approved, a money bill has to be approved, and then only the amendment of the plan is considered in terms of the transitional provisions. So, Chairperson, our position there is that we reject the amendment based on the fact that there's more than enough provision of more than 6 months, actually, and that's enough time for the consultation to be made between the applicant and the department in terms of regularizing and aligning that specific plan. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. We also agree that this 3 days, this 2 months is a sufficient in circumstances. And unless there is a proper motivation from the Western Republic why this period will not be sufficient, we reject the amendment.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is another policy decision, Chairperson, especially from the department point of view, because the most important thing, the implementation, in respect of the implementation, I will know, is that time sufficient or not. If the time is sufficient in respect of the department, obviously the committee has to make that decision. Thank you for support the department.
Okay.
I think I agree with this sufficient time my hand given. So I agree with that part.
Let's go to Northern Cape.
Northern Cape, just a minute.
No, I was... In Pumalanga, name of the bill, National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill, number of the bill, B32B, Tech 2013, date of deliberation, 14th March 2014, vote of the legislature, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Administration, Economic Development, Environmental and Tourism. The committee supports the options of the National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill 32-2013. There are no proposed amendments. The committee confers on the permanent delegate representing the province of Pumalanga in the National Council of Province, the mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill signed by Honorable Alsuwa Sobofane, MPL chairperson of the portfolio committee, signed on the 14th March 2013. Is there any proposal? Honorable, or any seconder? I want it, Honorable Honet. Thank you. Northern Cape.
The National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill, number of the bill is BD2B 2013, date of deliberation 13th March 2014, vote of the legislature vote in favor of the bill, signed by the chairperson. Thank you.
Is there any supporter? Any proposal? Honorable Mother, any supporter? Honorable Onne. Thank you very much. I'm going to read the Northwest. Northwest, name of the bill, National Environmental Management Loss Waste Management Bill, number of the bill, B32, B2013, date of deliberation, 1st March 2014, a vote of legislature. The provincial legislature does not concur with the amendments of the National Environmental Management Waste Amendment Bill. Proposed section 13A, subsection 3, and subsection 4 allow for a waste cutting strategy to differentiate on the basis of factors that will not always be under the control of the producer, such as the geographic area and the end of life treatment of the waste. There is uncertainty in proper section 13BC that it provides protection through the national fiscal system. It is not clear whether this means in accordance with the processes
contemplated under the Netherlands process, or that funds collected through a pricing strategy must go through the tax collection system. Management license is required to remove things or any other facility that directly suppliers as fuel. From waste recovery processes, disposal option is the only viable option. The definition of waste in the amendment is the bill, if passed, that will provide that waste will cease not to be waste once an application for its recovery creates a significant potential problem. That would mean once waste tire management plan is approved, waste tires cease to be waste and therefore no longer fall under the NEMWA. Proposed section 13A, subsection 3 and 4 allow for a waste pricing strategy to differentiate on the basis of factors that will not always be under the control of the producer, such as the geographic area and the end life of treatment and the waste that is an uncertain in proposed section 13B3. In that it is provided for collection through the national fiscal system, it is not clear whether this means in accordance with processes conducted under the national fiscal system on or that has gone through a pricing strategy. I wish not to must go through the tax collection system. The proposed part 7, it provides for the establishment of waste management bureau. The lack of clarity of the limits of authority of the bureau and the apparent absence of the accountability in the investment structure creates a level of uncertainty that would seriously discourage the very large scale investment needed by an organization. Further consideration is needed for the bill to be completed. The Northwest Province does not vote in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable Mokamele Makini, Chairperson of Economic Development, Environmental and Conservation Tourism, Day 7 March 2014. The Department.
Chair, Honorable Chair, thank you very much. In absence of having the actual document in front of us, I think what you raised was brought in the category of the pricing strategy.
You don't have the document in front of us?
No, we don't.
I will. Where is the committee secretary? African, sorry.
Can you give this system?
I don't know what's wrong here. I really, really. Yeah, that's too much document. And the documents arrived late this morning. Sorry, that's confusing.
Yes, yeah, so if I can continue. Honorable Chairperson, now the first issue is the issue of the pricing strategy. And basically what we provide for is the establishment of a pricing strategy after a public consultation period. So what will happen is that the development of the pricing strategy will be broadly and extensively consulted with all stakeholders concerned, industry, the public, NGOs, the provinces and so forth. So the concern that's raised are a bit, it's kind of preemptive because we have not finalized a pricing strategy yet. So the issues around how it would work, what would be the methodologies, how will the tariffs be designed, how would it be collected within the fiscus and all of that is still something that has to be finalized. And in that context, there will be extensive consultation and proposals that will be made and would be considered. The issue around the where waste ceases to be waste, and I think this is a kind of interpretation and a view that a province has that a waste, once it's reused, recycled, and so forth, then what would happen to that? The way the definitions are done in the amendments and, in fact, in the Act, once the waste is reused, recycled, and so forth, it ceases to be waste in that context. The issue that was specified here was the issue of tires. Now, tires are defined as waste when used in the context of the various definitions like recovered and recycled and so forth. It's used in the context of it being a waste. And in terms of the waste management activities of the Waste Act and the EI activities, that specified there would be the requirement of a waste management license that must be needed, especially for kilns. So where tires are used as a fuel, in that process there would be a waste management license that would be required. And I think this is the type of discussions we do have in the consultations that we have with the provinces in terms of the implementation of the amendment. Chairperson, what we do envisage is that we would be providing a detailed comprehensive information guide for the implementation of this amendment, where we would deal with these types of details around what is a waste and what is not, and how do we implement it in the provinces. The issue around the limits of authority and accountability, I think, like we've dealt with the previous comments, we believe that there is sufficient accountability and limits of authority provisions as detailed in the functions of the Bureau. And in terms of the geographic areas they talk about, it's in the context of industry waste management plans, where there will be provisions like we have in certain areas of the country where we do have specific waste streams, like asbestos, for instance, in the Northern Cape. So they are based on geographic areas, but where there's a waste stream of national significance, it will be dealt with in that context. So, Chairperson, in essence, we reject those amendments. We feel they are adequately provided for. One, in terms of further consultation that would be done in terms of finalizing the various elements, example pricing strategy. And secondly, in terms of implementation, there would be a detailed implementation guide provided in terms of interpreting the implementation of the amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. In light of the fact that there's no specific drafting or constitutional issues, we would just need the government to handle it, because it's a work in progress in terms of the policy. Therefore, the department will cover it properly in terms of the negotiation and consultation with the public.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also agree with my colleague, Chairperson, that the department is in a better position to deal with the questions that were raised, because it's not a drafting issue, so to speak. So the department will deal with the implementation of the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Any
So I think the department must respond in writing. By tomorrow morning. In fact, all of these amendments we need to be heard in the responses in writing. Yeah, by tomorrow 10 a.m. The Western Cape amendments.
The Western Cape. The name of the bill, National Environment Management Waste Management Bill. The number of the bill is B32B 2013. Date of deliberation was on the 17th of March 2014. The vote of the legislature, the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Environmental Planning, reports that it confers on the Western Cape permit delegating the NDLC, the authority not to support the bill in its present format. Attached is a list of concerns.
Department?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We do have the committee report where there are various issues that are noted as concerns. However, there are no specific amendments that are proposed, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. If I just note, you know, there are no specific proposed amendments into this bill. I may just let the committee know that Section 154 of the Constitution deals with the role of the municipality in the cooperative governance. Therefore, the issue that is raised by Western Cape here, it has already taken place during the legislative process. The bill was published before it was introduced in Parliament. And that the proposals that are contained here from Parliament were also from stakeholders. That is why the bill was amended extensively in the National Assembly. Thank you.
Okay.
it before 10 o'clock tomorrow. Both departments, the environmental affairs and also the rural development. I've got this announcement. I want to the department, the members, the honorable members and the staff from parliament must leave behind, and those who are not working in parliament must just leave it. Because of some issues that we are going to discuss with the members of parliament and the officials. All the departments must wait. Those who are not working in parliament, the head officers must leave.